You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Nicholas Rodriguez, welcome to Talking Theater Friends.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, you know, getting ready for the holidays.
That's always great. So please tell me in as much as you can share about the show that you're a part of, the Sondheim Celebration.
Well, the Sondheim Unplugged, you know, it's been going on for a few years. I'm not exactly sure how many years. Phil can tell you better than I, but I've been involved with it, gosh, multiple times. And it's always so fun to, I probably have done six or seven of them over the years. And it's just so fun to get to do the Sondheim numbers out of context from the shows. And sometimes even songs that you wouldn't ever get to do in the show themselves. And Phil Jeffrey Bond is just like, has this huge wealth of knowledge about the shows and the process and the songs themselves. So it's always so fun to be a part of it, not just to do the material, but to hear tidbits of information from him and, you know, original cast members of other shows through the years. So it's just a lot of fun. And you see how many people actually just love the works of Stephen Sondheim.
How can I not, right?
Right, exactly.
Is there like a Sondheim character on your bucket list that you're like just like dying to play someday?
Oh man, there's so many, but definitely Bobby in Company and George in Sunday in the Park are like so high up there. So maybe one of these days, you know.
Can you talk a little bit about, you know, since you've been doing Sondheim Unplugged for a while, what was it like to do it in the room where it happens, but not do it with people drinking and like having their burgers and those like amazing fries Four Below?
Well, and also the staff. How about the awesome staff too? So without them, you know, it was so interesting. And also the fun part about doing the Sondheim Unplugged is just getting to collaborate with a whole bunch of people that you don't always get to collaborate with. So that part we all recorded individually as well. So seeing that amazing roster of so many friends that I haven't seen for 9 months to a year because of the pandemic, still didn't get to see them because we had to film one at a time. So, you know, but, you know, the same, it's, you know, it's equally nerve-wracking, you know, doing some of these Sondheim songs. And, you know, he does not skimp on the lyrics. So one thing that we will all say when we do the Sondheim Unplugged, because, you know, we don't really get to rehearse a lot. You just get up there and do it in front of everybody. And 99% of the audience knows 100% of the words, so they know when you mess up, and the nerves of singing the words wrong is the same whether it's a packed house or it's just you and the cameraman. So those nerves are the same.
Did you like imagine like any specific audience members when you were like staring out into like the booths and the tables?
You know, it's so interesting. It's such a different world now, right? I mean, here we are, like musical theater people trained to like play to the back of the house or to play the room. And now you're like, play to this camera, play to this camera. Oh, and here's this guy walking around with a camera. So it's definitely interesting, like using those TV chops with the musical theater chops. And it's a new world. We're all learning so fast.
What was it like for you, like if it's not too painful to go back and think about, you know, that those like super strange, like surreal weeks in March or like in February where we're like, oh, we're gonna be fine, it's gonna be under control, and then suddenly go home and like don't leave your house for like 9 months.
I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, singing with the Raleigh Symphony, the North Carolina Symphony, doing a Rodgers and Hammerstein program. And I flew home on the 9th of March. And the Broadway shutdown was on the 12th. So in a way, I was still doing a little bit of Rodgers and Hammerstein. But, we are blessed. We have a house upstate in the Catskills. And we came up here on the 12th of March thinking that, like, oh, maybe we'll be there for a week or so. And then 2 weeks, and then so it was definitely like everyone has been experiencing, the hurry up and wait game, and then finding ways to get creative and to do things to work outside of the box, so to speak, or in the box, the Zoom box. So it's kind of surreal that it's like coming up on a year now, and just watching the resilience of people and filming various projects like this one at 54 Below and for other theaters around the country, just watching the resilience of people and watching people adapt, you know.
What do you miss the most if there's like a single thing that you can pinpoint
I
about
mean,
being on stage?
you know, I mean the biggest thing in life is just missing family, like being able to travel and see family and friends, being together, and then as far as like art and what we do, the thing I miss the most is the collaboration. It's we are getting creative when we're doing a lot of these things, but for instance, they'll send you a pre-recorded track and then you try to sing to that and then somebody else edits it on Zoom or something. So, on moments like the Sondheim Unplugged concert coming up, it was just so amazing to work with Joe, the pianist, and just actually be able to breathe and do that so much, like we used to be able to do, and to be able to collaborate with the audience, to have them react to. I was fortunate enough during the summer to do several concerts and outdoors and socially distanced. But oh, you just forget having that immediate response. It's one thing to sing to people over Zoom and hope they like it in their living room. It's another thing to be in the room together. So that's definitely the collaboration with other artists and with the audience is what I miss the most.
And it's like suddenly everyone's like not at a Lady Gaga concert, but ever Lady Gaga because like everyone's like wearing their masks and you can't read the people. I don't know, it must be so strange for all of you. When you do things digitally or over Zoom, how do you what are you using to measure that feedback that you usually get from cheers and from applause and from people singing along with you?
It's tough. Love. Luckily, there's been some lovely people, and they're able to send comments. And I feel that the connection that we had kind of lost in the social media world of just likes and stuff like that, I feel like people are definitely reaching out more and sending follow-up emails or even a text. Or I just got a thank you letter in the mail the other day. That's like, oh my gosh, remember those? It's so nice. So I do feel like people are going the extra mile to show appreciation, and you see it. But especially I've been blessed to do a lot of teaching and coaching online, and the kids are they're really great at it. They know all the little functions to send a high five or so it's really great. And I've noticed it from all ages, from young to old, that people want to give back and like rounds of applause and show love for these like gifts of art over the internet.
So now that in so many ways, like you mentioned that having not being able to collaborate with people, right? So now that you are your own director, lighting designer, set designer, and all of that, what skills would you say that you picked up during the pandemic? You're like, Nicholas, like keep this one. Like you want to use this one when we are able to go back to any, like, I don't know, anything well, you like know, this before.
It's so interesting, you know, and like at first of the pandemic, I started like by sharing the wealth. I know like a lot of people were unemployed and not having income. So I thought, okay, great. Well, I'll just reach out and I'll have so-and-so edit this for me and pay them a few dollars, or I'll have somebody mix the sound on this. And now that we're getting further along, it's like, oh gosh, this is going to drag on. I better learn how to do this. You know, this old dog has got to learn some kind of tricks. So I wouldn't say I'm master of anything yet, but a little bit of this and, you know, slowly but surely building up the studio with the lights and the sound and the blue wall. And, you know, it looks like we're going to be here for a little bit longer, even if the world does bounce back. But I think at the beginning of the pandemic, there was a lot more forgiveness for low-tech options. And now it's like, No, bitch. You've been in this for 9 months. You better figure it out. You better have that ring light by now or else it's on you. So I better catch up.
Yeah, they're expecting you to be like James Cameron or Steven Spielberg right at home.
Exactly. They're like, what do you mean you don't have a 4K? What do you mean you don't have a, you know, but I was like, okay, I'll get one tomorrow as soon as Amazon can get it here.
I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how to use Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
March was my first time and I'm still like, don't know what I'm doing. Like, I mean, yeah. You heard me, like, I could hear my echo for the longest. I have no idea how to do anything over here.
Well, and it all keeps changing, right? It's like the thing with Zoom now, it's like every time you log in, there's some kind of update, you know, or there's, and then once you've got it figured out, they say, oh, we're going to StreamYard now. I'm like, great, let me figure that one out too, so.
Yeah, what's that, by the way? Like, I've never heard of that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, should I be scared of that one?
No, I've used it very little, but it's you know, for performing live, doing music live, it's a little smoother. But again, I'm no expert, so.
So for any performers that are going to be watching or listening to this, do you have any specific, you know, tips that you're like, get this light and not this one, get this camera and not this one, get this thing and not this one?
You know, I don't. I feel like there's so, and I'm constantly asking around and everybody else has a different thing. So I find just like, get what works for you. I have like a basic ring light that costs $20 and I record things from my iPhone and I bought a little microphone that plugs into it and it's doing just fine for what we need. You know, I don't have a fancy studio. So I wish I had better advice, but I just say, get whatever is user friendly to you and is not intimidating.
I wonder, have you, if you have any tips also for singers specifically, because I have heard from so many people, I don't know how to sing, I barely know how to use Zoom, but I've heard from so many singers that it's tricky because there's like a delay if you're trying to like perform live.
Yeah.
And all that, like, have you mastered that? And do you have any, you know, like Yoda wisdom to share?
I haven't mastered it by any stretch of the imagination, but the things that I find that have helped the best for singing live over Zoom is to have an external source for your sound. So like, for instance, if you're playing from a track or whether you're playing from the piano, because you don't want too many things going into the microphone at the same time. So have that, like I have my Bluetooth speaker that I use for playback and I have that, it's just a little trial and error of the distance. So it's not competing with your voice, but it actually balances out with your voice. So I've just kind of found like my sweet spot on the volume level, which is different than if it's live in the room. So I just kind of tested it out with somebody on the other end and just try to recreate those settings as far as distance to the microphone for the speaker and for me, and just try to keep it the same every time.
That sounds really cool. Like I should try that also and learn how to sing maybe. Yeah. And I was listening to your album and so beautiful. And I love that it's such an eclectic, you know, mix of things. Like I was, you know, I was surprised to hear you doing Waters of March.
Oh,
this like one of my favorite songs from when I was little. I sing it in Portuguese, although I don't even speak Portuguese.
Oh,
so I just like made up the word. So can you talk a little bit about putting together that, which is, I'm gonna assume like a reflection of like the so many genres and your interests, right?
Well, I mean, they're a reflection of me. You know, I'm interested in all of these different things. And I think making the album was such a lifelong dream of mine that I had enough time to think about, like, oh, what I might do. So I kind of just started by making a collection of songs. And the way it came about is actually I got asked to do the Orlando Cabaret Festival for a few years back, and I'd never done a cabaret show. So I started working on that first. And then as that set list started coming about, it all the stuff kind of revolved around things that were first in my life. So it kind of made a way that some songs fell off the table and some songs came into it. And then after doing that show for a few other places, did it at the Signature in DC, did it in Orlando, did it at Birdland, then had the opportunity to record it with PS Classics as an album. And it was great because the songs were already tested and true and the arrangements were done. And then we could kind of just pick the ones that we wanted specifically for that. And, you know, all my favorites made it on there. So
if you could have had, you know, like a whole collection, like a triple album, were there like some tracks that you would have liked to include that you're going to hold for the next one?
You know, it's interesting. I wouldn't say that I have any regrets because I'm really happy with the way the album came out and I'm really happy with everything on it. I'm very proud of it. But I do in the show, when I do the show now, I talk about there was one song that intimidated me and I didn't do it on the album. Which everybody kept expecting. They're like, oh, if the album's called The First Time, surely you're going to do The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. And I didn't because I just thought that Roberta Flack recording was so iconic and the line and the breath and the vulnerability. And now I'm just like, you know, kicking myself because I'm like, the only reason I didn't do it was fear. And I just feel like that's not a really good reason to avoid doing things in life. So now I talk about that when I do the show and I do the song live, but I wish I had done it on the album then, but who knows, maybe there'll be more albums to come.
I hope so, like I'm sure. And you know, since you spoke about fear and this is, I don't know, like I don't want this to be like a stressful question, but like, you know, like I feel like this year in so many ways has been about learning and about us like overcoming so many things.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you have, I don't know, like what's your biggest insight about not only you as an artist, but you as a human being, 2020 that you want to carry into the rest of your life?
Well, it's, you know, it's a great question and there's so much. But I feel like the thing that I've recognized in myself the most over these last 9 months is that it's okay to slow down, you know, and really owning that because so much of ourselves, especially as artists and as actors, we put ourselves on the line daily, you know, putting ourselves out there to be vulnerable, not just in the performance aspect, but also in the audition, in the callback process. And the thing that it took me a second during this pandemic to realize was that it's not just me. Everybody is out of work. Everybody is slowing down. And I think we spend so much time judging ourselves based on others. You know, somebody else got this job. Somebody else is constantly working. Somebody else booked that national tour. That you feel, or at least I should say for myself, I would put the pressure on myself to compete or to be competitive in the industry. And now, as soon as I had the realization that the whole world is on pause, that it allowed me to not beat myself up about stuff and to just kind of enjoy the ride. And then as things did come along, to be appreciative of them and to say like, you know what, I get to do this today. I'm blessed to get to do this. So I'm hoping that I will be able to carry that with me as we go into 2021 and things start opening back up, is to just not be so hard on myself and base it my success comparatively to others.
I think that's really beautiful. Like, you're gonna get me all emotional because, like, I feel like same. So thank you for sharing that.
It's so easy to, you know, and I definitely see it now too. There's definitely two groups of people that I'm noticing. People that will hear you got something or booked a TV show or doing a concert and they'll say, oh my God, that's amazing for you. Or their first reaction is, wait, I didn't hear about that. Or how did you get that? And I didn't. And it's pretty much one or the other, you know, so it's very telling to see where people are with that.
Same, like you're speaking, like, I feel like you're like, so weird that, you know, like so many people, like you talk to them and like, we all kind of like got the same from the year and I'm with you on that, like totally. And now that you're my shrink or anything, like how do you deal with the people who, let's just say maybe, have a little bit too much envy or who don't share in your joy, but rather come from a place of you know, like, what's the word? Not from a place of abundance, but from a place of like lack. Like, how do you deal with them? Like,
Well,
you just like,
I try to deal with patience. I mean, I find that if somebody leads with lack of generosity, if that's where they're coming from, calling them out on it isn't going to tend to make them more generous. So, in my experience, so I just try to take the high road. You know, my husband says all the time, take the high road. There's more room there. You know, so I just feel like I acknowledge it, I hear it, and then I just, you know, don't let myself get in that situation again with that person. But I don't feel the need to be combative with people that are already feeling that they're leading from a negative place. It just doesn't do any good. So, you know, I just try to be positive and say, well, I hope you get the next one, man, or whatever. You know, like, there's plenty to go around.
Absolutely. And speaking of generosity, can you talk about what you're going to be like indulging in over the holidays and like what's on your letter to Santa and
oh my gosh,
all the good Christmas stuff?
Well, speaking of indulge, I just recently did the Whole 30. Do you know the Whole 30?
So good.
Yeah, I loved it. It was amazing. Lost my 16 pounds. I'm very happy about that. But that is in full preparation of the onslaught of food that I'm having for Christmas. So like, as soon as we get off this call, I'm starting my tamales. I'm in a 2-day process of making. And of course, like, I'll share some, but eating a lot of them, you know, and like making cookies and like, am I going to bake a ham or make a turkey? Like, all bets are off, you know. My mom said the other day, she said, well, she's like, Nick, you can't be on a diet. It's Christmas. Christmas only comes once a year. And I'm like, yeah, but we celebrate it for like 2 weeks of food. So I'm ready. Bring on the sausage biscuits, bring on the cookies. I'm ready for all of it. And the booze.
Okay, I wanted to talk about the tiger blood, because like when the tiger blood happens in the Whole 30, that's like the most incredible thing of all time, right?
I guess. I don't know. I was like waiting. I don't know what I was waiting for, like to leap buildings in a single bound, but I definitely felt great, like in the middle of it, you know, and I was like, oh, this can go on forever if only I could have booze. But yeah, and you sleep so good. That's the thing. That's the biggest secret of Whole 30. I was like, wow, I'm just like sleeping like a rock.
And you wake up at the exact same time without an alarm clock every morning.
Yeah, and no hangover. You're like, wow.
That's true. What goes in your tamales? Because I've been craving tamales. I'm from Honduras, and one of my friends who's actually from Honduras and lives in New York, she's like, I have tamales for you, but like we can't see each other, so I just want everyone to
ship them with dry ice. Ship them with dry ice. Mine are just very traditional, like my grandmother's. So they're just pork and garlic and lots of chile.
Okay, then. I'm ready. I'm ready now. Someone marry me a little, love me just enough. Warm and sweet and easy.
Oh my gosh, I'm super excited about this version of Sondheim Unplugged. Like I said, I've done 6 or 7 of them over the years. I've been to multiples, but when they announced this cast list, it's just off the hook. Darius DeHaas, T. Oliver Reed, Lucia Spina, Natalie Douglas, me. And what I love about it, and Phil Jeffrey Bond, is that, you know, a lot of times it'll go obscure and there's some like unknown Sondheim, but when I saw this list, it's a lot of the hits. So I'm going to watch it more than once. And it starts the day after Christmas. So you can have your tamales on Boxing Day. You don't have to pay a 2-drink minimum. You just have to like walk to your fridge, which is going to be awesome. And I'm just excited that 54 Below is getting into the streaming game. The Cody Williams, our director of photography, did a gorgeous job, a 3-camera shoot. And they're also doing, currently airing is Norm Lewis's Christmas concert. Same guys filmed it. They did an amazing job. And I'm so happy to work with them. And I'm also, right after that, I have something coming up at the Paper Mill Playhouse. It's switching to a virtual season this year. They just debuted their Christmas show, which I was fortunate enough to be in. That runs for 2 weeks as well. But coming up in January, we're recording a Rodgers and Hammerstein concert. It's 5 actors. We're doing Some Enchanted Evening, the music of Rodgers and Hammerstein. And that will run for 2 weeks, beginning middle of February. And you can get tickets to that on the Paper Mill Playhouse website.
That sounds amazing. So, yeah. Feliz Navidad. Happy holidays. Enjoy your tamales. And let me know What do you think about Selena when you get to watch it?
Yes, Feliz Navidad. Thank you so much for having me and chatting. It's so fun.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.